Coming to the U.S. Bank Arena May 11th through the 15th is Disney on Ice's presentation of Frozen, which is presented by Stonyfield Yo Kids Organic Yogurt. And with me on the phone is Gregory A. Poplick, who is the costume designer for this presentation. Gregory, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much.
You're Emmy nominated. You've been designing professionally for over 20 years, and you're from Cleveland?
Yes, right outside Cleveland, a small town called Willoughby, Ohio.
And how did you get from Cleveland to New York?
Well, I went to school in New York for design and then just ended up staying there because that's where the job market was.
What all have you been doing in New York?
Well, I've done Broadway. I've done opera. I've done ballet, the New York City Ballet. Ringling Brothers Circus, which is, you know, brilliant. Love that. And this was my first ice show.
How difficult is it to design for these different genres, from drama to opera to ballet, now to skating?
Well, what's sort of very interesting to me is all of the different mediums require different skills and different resources. For instance, when I began working on the ice show, I don't even ice skate. So I knew nothing about it. And the first thing I did was hire myself an assistant who was an ice skater, so that she could walk me through all the important parameters that you would need. And you learn as you go. Like, for instance, you don't want to use natural silks or anything on your costumes, even though it might be the most beautiful and luxurious and moving fabric available, because the chemicals used on the ice are going to destroy it in a matter of weeks. You have to understand, this is something totally blew my mind. For instance, like when you are designing ball gowns for the coronation scene, you have to be very careful of the amount of weight that you're using in the skirt, in the petticoats, because what happens as the skaters spin, the weight of the petticoat will keep up the momentum of the spin, so it can actually throw them off weight when they try to stop.
Now, can we go back just a little bit and talk about the plot and what folks will see on the ice when they get there? Is Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse part of it, too?
They are, but this is one of the few instances where the ice show is almost exclusively the story. It's not vignettes of different stories. It is all Frozen, the first and the second acts. But what we did, what the Fallots wanted to do and what the director decided, was that Mickey and Minnie and their friends would intro us to the story. Because I think, and it's amazing when you go, when you're at the theaters where this is playing, when Mickey and Minnie enter, it is an unbelievable rush for the kids who go see these shows. It's like they are greeting old friends. And it was really important, I think, for the Fallots to sort of center this into their classic Disney on Ice. And never having designed for Mickey, Minnie, or their friends, it was a treat. And to see the reaction of the kids when their friends enter and begin talking with them, just amazing.
Talk about the process of going from a design on a piece of paper to the finished costume for some of these Frozen characters.
Well, Frozen was really a challenge because it wasn't only just, you know, what you normally consider soft good costumes, which are the dresses and, you know, the uniforms for the men, the villagers, but we had to create snowmen, trolls, reindeer. It was really an interesting process. But what we had to do from page to stage, so to speak, is begin with the Disney characters that they give you. And you have to be very, very true to what Disney has sort of laid out. In fact, there are very many levels of authorization when you're designing for Disney. But then as you go into sort of like more of the townspeople and all, you have a little more creativity. But what you're trying to do is interpret the classic Disney character and make it work not only in a large venue, because Disney films are two-dimensional. You have to give it a little more depth somehow so that it doesn't appear flat, because once you put it into an auditorium at a great distance from the audience with lights and all, you need to create somehow a little more depth and a little more theatricality than what you'll see on film. And then the last part is to keep in mind that you are designing not really for actors, although they are certainly performers, but they are much more akin to designing for an athlete than they are for an actor. So you have to allow for maximum range of movement. You have to imagine, how are you going to hide the skates? How are you going to best cover them so that it glides seamlessly, if you will, through the entire costume and also allow them for maximum movement.
When you were designing these and getting the actual costumes prepared, did you have the skaters there to try everything on? And did they have understudies, and were their bodies the same size?
Lots of good questions there. Yes, when you're beginning the sort of the first show, which is the grand show, the one that's touring the United States, you are working with the skaters who will be performing. But what happens is, because there are lots of different venues where Disney and Ice play, I only am responsible for the first company and the look. And I am working with, you know, the woman who is skating the role of Anna, or who is doing Kristoff and Hans. So I'm working one-on-one with these people in a fitting where, with the people who are creating the costumes. It'd be nice if you just skated holding a sketch, but we have to create 3D costumes that are fitting these actors and these skaters. So what you're doing in a fitting is you're just working with them, making sure that they can move their hands, that as they move and leap through the air, that, for instance, the tailcoats that the gentlemen are wearing, the military outfits, are keeping together and they're not separating, so that we see, you know, undershirts and tights and such. So it's a big process, and it's a complicated process. And then when you think of it, that most skaters in the show are performing a number of different roles, where they might be a townsperson in this scene, and then they are at the coronation scene. So there are quick changes that you have to work into it, which are generally not a problem. But in this instance, the quick changes also include they never take their skates off during the course of the show. So everything has to be designed to go on the body without ever taking skates off, which is worse than trying to change your pants without taking off your shoes.
So do you have a costumer there at each performance?
They have a team of costumers who not only help with the actual production, like, you know, help change the skaters as they're moving along, but are also responsible for the upkeep of the costumes and the transportation and the cleaning of the costumes. Because these people are, you know, they are skating their hearts out. So there's sweat. There's lots of repairs because, unfortunately, cloth is not steel. It's going to rip. It's going to fade. It's going to get wet and get weakened.
And how many sewing machines do you have behind the scenes?
Now, I can't answer that, but if I were doing it, I'd have a number of them wait and ready to go, and glue, and staple guns, and anything else.
And where was your design studio?
I have actually two right now. When I was doing Frozen, I was really working mostly out of New York. What happens is, I have a house in Ohio. It's set in a nice, quiet little area called Waite Hill, which is, you know, just a mile from where I grew up. And what I like to do is I come here into my studio and I do most of my drawing here, where it's a much more relaxing environment. When I'm ready, you know, we go through the presentations with the Fells and the directors, and, you know, you're flying everywhere. You're going to New York, you're going to L.A., you're going to wherever you need to have meetings, Florida. But when we're ready, we start putting the costumes out to bid, which means, you know, you take the sketches and you go to the costume houses that are going to be creating the costumes. And this process is sort of overseen by the director of Feld Costuming, which is Donna Oak, who, let me tell you, a great friend and a great ally. She's been doing this for years, so she walks you through the minefield, telling you things to be careful with, telling you, like, what shop she thinks is better suited to certain costumes. Like, in this one, we had bees and butterflies and flowers that were skating, and those she thought would be better suited to a shop that, you know, specialized in sort of more novelty costumes, whereas a lot of the ball gowns, we went to a shop in New York where, you know, they specialize in more traditional costumes. But what you do is, you know, you take your sketches, they bid it out, you come up with the budget, and then your job really is to walk the shop with their input, your input, the director, Donna's. You take all these people's opinions of what's going to work best, plus your own, and try and make, you know, the costume come to life, which is choosing the fabrics, deciding on the scale, on the proportion, what's going to be the trim, how are we going to achieve sparkle, because it is an ice show. And pound for pound, there are more rhinestones on these costumes than should be allowed by God.
What a fascinating visit behind the scenes. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
With us has been Gregory A. Poplick, who is the costume designer for Disney on Ice's presentation of Frozen, presented by Stonyfield Yo Kids Organic Yogurt, and will be playing U.S. Bank Arena from May 11th to the 15th. You'll find a link to Disney on Ice's Frozen at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hayes.